better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Jordan. I'll be with you for the next hour, and I got some great guests this evening, too. And if you haven't taken a look outside this evening, you should. That moon is gorgeous, and it's moving towards the what I think is the most beautiful full moon of the year, the Hunter's Moon, which I think will be in about 4 days. Not positive, but it looks to be about what it is. But that's the one. One full moon of the year you definitely don't want to miss. And if you have an opportunity to watch it rising from Lakeville, from the Valley of over the Valley of the Moon, from near Mount St. Helena, take that opportunity. It'll take your breath away. You may have noticed here in early October 2008, it's a rather political time. You can't really get away from politics on every level, from the very, very local to the national and international. There's just no escape. So Mouthful is going to jump in a bit, and we're going to explore a region we've explored on Mouthful before. It's one of the most pristine regions of Sonoma County. It is also under siege and has been under siege for a while. When I think about what is happening in Knights Valley, I think about what almost happened in Lakeville. They're in the Lakeville wetlands that have now been saved. There will not be a casino going in. I think about True Rock and just how True Rock is still so beautiful, and it's dairy country. It still looks like a Thomas Hardy novel. And then there's battles going on up near the Mendocino border as well with so-called preservation ranch. I just love the way somebody can take the language and twist it to their own possibly evil purposes. So on that note, let me introduce my guests. We are talking about Knights Valley. We have one of its great advocates, Craig Enyart. Also, Millie Bissett, who has a show, an art show, paintings of Knights Valley, that is on display in Healdsburg through October 25th. We also have Lisa Carr, who lives in Knights Valley and has a family vineyard there. So the three of you, for two of you, welcome back. And Lisa, welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having us.
You bet. I'm so glad that I'm able to. Something happened recently, I understand, with the Board of Supervisors that has made the situation in Knights Valley very timely. What's going on?
Well, basically, for 4 years, we've been letting the public know and letting Jess Jackson and Barbara Banky know and our supervisor, Paul Kelly, know that we're opposed to this commercial development in Knights Valley on agricultural land in an agricultural preserve. And the supervisors decided to take matters in their own hands and bypass normal public process and rush this into a hearing on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, October 14th at 2:30 p.m. So this is for all the marbles. And we'd just like everyone to know that we still feel the same, that this is inappropriate. And please come on Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. at the Board of Supervisors hearing room and let your supervisor know that you want to save this beautiful area.
Now, what was the process that was circumvented? What specifically did they do?
Well, normally, the first thing that would happen is, well, first, it's already been in design review, and it's already been in landmarks review. And normally what would happen, it would go to the Board of Zoning Adjustments, and there would be a hearing where the public would get a chance to come and really tell their feelings about the project. Mm-hmm. So the Board of Supervisors, and we feel wrongly so, decided to skip over that process, just to eliminate that very important public process.
And did they have to justify it, or did they just blow it off?
Well, we think they still have to justify it. Okay. In fact, we've written them, our attorney has written them a letter explaining how actually the Brown Act was violated by them doing this. We have a very serious letter in front of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think their general feeling is that they're being indemnified by the developer so that they don't have any legal risk and they're just going to move forward. But I think, again, in these times where, and I know Lisa probably agrees with me, that the public's not really, doesn't have much patience for this type of stepping over where due process is eliminated.
Mm-hmm. As long as they know about it.
Well, this literally appears to be somewhat of a backroom deal with a billionaire.
Really?
You can really take from the protocol when this all happened. There was a Board of Supervisors meeting on July 15th, and Supervisor Kelly introduced, after the Pledge of Allegiance, he literally slipped in an addenda to the agenda whereby mentioned as a lot line adjustment. Well, a lot line adjustment on this major development is only one of a whole slew of developments that are planned at the property and were included under lot line adjustment. So I feel the other supervisors most likely did not pay attention. Also, at that meeting, there was no 72-hour notice of the public, which is mandated. The public needs to have equal opportunity to know of these changes in such a development process. And all other applicants, if you look at all other quote-unquote winery applications, sometimes there's a lot behind a winery applications, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's just a simple winery application. Development projects of much lesser degrees must go through the full process. They don't get the special privilege. First, there are two public meetings. One has simply been cut out, and the public is being given next Tuesday 30 minutes to present their case.
30 minutes.
And this has been going on. And I would like to also get into how the public has been systematically circumvented in this whole process. The applicants have never met with the residents. They have always sent their lawyers to a select number of residents that have been invited, and the invitations were never made public to the residents of Knights Valley. Secondly, also, there have been widespread community petitions signed and delivered to the Board of Supervisors saying specifically, overwhelmingly, 90% of the residents are saying they do not want a tasting room and special events. It's creating a tourist destination. I don't mm-hmm. think you're finding the opposition. I mean, I grow grapes. I can understand that someone would want to process their grapes. But you get into this fine definition of what is a winery. Is it predominantly you process your grapes that you grow? I don't think most people would have an objection to that. But this is becoming a tourist destination. Mm-hmm. With a public tasting room that Knights Valley has never seen.
Never had. One big estate winery, Peter Michael. Very developed. You cannot see it from the road.
Right.
And it has no public tasting room.
Yeah. And that's our standard that we've said.
Yeah.
We believe that that's the standard that would be appropriate in Knights Valley. Mm-hmm. And that's really all we're asking for. Mm-hmm. If someone would say, well, what would you accept? That would be an ideal
mm-hmm.
to continue on with the Peter Michael model. And let this one place remain rural.
Mm-hmm.
Let this one ag preserve be a place where people love to come and view a very rural part of Sonoma County that really doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah, sort of how it was and a long time ago.
Exactly, and that's why it's been kind of fun that Millie has decided to paint it, because really what you're painting is a piece of history that may not exist.
We're so lucky to be able to live in a place as beautiful as Knights Valley and Sonoma County as a whole. I think that we should all get out there and paint away, take our cameras, and make it a place that continues to be that way. In order to make it remain this way, we have to do our part. And my part is to paint and have a showing at the Healdsburg Library with the idea of using recycled materials.
Just to walk me through so I can visualize, I'm a very visual thinker.
Okay.
When you say recycled materials, does that mean what you're painting on? And are you painting in oil? Are you painting in acrylic?
I'm painting in oil. Mm-hmm. I have some sketches there, and I do pencil, watercolors, and oil.
Also but number. Okay, great.
Basically, I have drawings and oil paintings. But my frames are all recycled, and some of my materials are recycled as well, the stretcher bars and the wood. My favorite place to go is the dump, where I take something that's twisted and needs work, and I take it to a cabinet maker, and he'll make me a frame out of what was used to be a window frame. But really, the whole show is to create the awareness that unless we all do something, we're going to lose this beautiful place that we call home.
Yeah,
Sonoma County.
What sort of response do you think you're going to have on Tuesday? You're going to fill the Board of Supervisors room?
Well, I think there's a lot of interest. I think there are some people that would say that they approve of the project. It seems that those motivations are coming more from the they have something to gain, a vote, money, or it's the typical story of power and greed, and what can I gain from this? And so some people have their eye on that ball, but over 90% of the residents have, for the last 4 years, said they're against this project. I think we're going to have a good turnout. And, you know, we really don't expect much from the Board of Supervisors. We think that they've already made up their mind.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Can you, with the whole violation of the Brown Act and with them just sort of leapfrogging over one essential step, can you sue them?
You can sue them, yeah. The county doesn't seem to be very afraid of lawsuits. They get sued all the time, as you know.
Yes.
What's interesting about now is it is an election time, and there are a couple of Valerie Brown's up for re-election.
There's an open seat in the third.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Riley's retired.
Exactly.
Leaving.
So, you know, they're really, I think this is an opportunity for people to kind of really take a look at, well, what do they want? What do they want from their supervisors? And do they want a trustworthy group that's representing them? So that's why we feel like in the fifth district, we like Ruth Furch. We like where she's coming from. In the third district, we like Shirley Zane.
Shirley Zane, who's been a guest on Mouthful.
Yeah, and just those people seem to have a better sense of where we need to go. And then in the first district, we like Will Peer. We think Will Peer's somebody who has a lot of interest in more, you know, saving the environment.
And so he's the one who's running against Valerie Brown.
That's right. You know, actually, we did call Valerie Brown. One of our residents called Valerie Brown the last few days and tried to speak to her about this and didn't really get much of a response. So I don't think they're taking it as seriously as they need to.
Well, I wish you, I really hope it goes well on Tuesday. I'm going to take a little musical break, and I want to talk about a little bit about the history of Knights Valley.
Great. Thank you.
nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore.
It's a mouthful. It is KRCB. Just about, not quite 21 minutes after 7, and we are talking about Knights Valley, one of Sonoma County's most pristine areas, one of our American viticultural areas. One winery there, many vineyards. I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the winery that really established the name for Knights Valley has been Behringer.
Yes.
They have a lot of plantings on the valley floor.
I believe they have 600 acres. They are the largest grower. There's over 30 growers in Knights Valley, ranging from, you know, like 5 acres or maybe even less to certainly a Behringer of over 600 acres. Mm-hmm. Actually, Kendall Jackson, Jess and Barbara have a 1,200-acre property, of which about 400 to 500 are planted. So mm-hmm. they're the two biggest growers.
Yeah. And then Peter Michael Winery, do we know? I don't remember right now. How many acres they have?
They have about 100 acres planted.
Planted,
it's
okay.
About a 900-acre estate, and I want to say it's about 100 acres planted, and, of course, it's it produces premium wine in all the varietals. So
yeah, and their Le Pavot, Le Pavot vineyard is just a spectacular place. I think the elevation is 1,700 feet.
I think you're right.
And it's very, very steep. The grading for the vineyards are very steep, and they all sort of go down into this beautiful bowl, and I've been there when there have been peregrine falcons circling mm-hmm. overhead, and Mount St. Helena at that point looks so close it's like you can put your hand out and touch it.
Exactly.
Of course you can't.
Yeah.
But it really looks that close. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it does have a real distinctive character, the wines, the fruit. So what's it's Jess Jackson's project. Jess Jackson and his wife Barbara Banky's project. What is it that they want to do that you would like them not to do?
Well, first of all, I think there is a false perception in the public. There was an article in the Press Democrat saying a 5,000-case winery is what is being applied for. That is incorrect. It's much broader. As a matter of fact, it's a lot line adjustment. Two winery sites, 3/4 of a mile apart, are being proposed. A separate
two winery sites.
Sites. There's a
almost two separate developments, if you will.
Okay.
There's a separate public tasting room. It's not even integrated into one of the wineries. That public tasting room infringes on the setback requirements for our scenic highway. It's a new building. Why should it do that? Office, retail store, food stop. Commercial kitchen, 200-person events, outdoor noise application anytime between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. It was really, I must say, I actually plowed through the mitigated negative declaration. That's the final application, and they're supposed to describe everything that they can do and can't do. And it was an eye-opener to me how many things really got slipped into there from what we had originally understood.
Yeah.
This opens up avenues for opening up a catering shop. You have commercial kitchens. It's a food stop. They want a sign.
And the 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day?
Noise amplification is any time. Well, there are 200-person events can be any time between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. And we're talking about no regard on outdoor or no requirements in terms of outdoor noise amplification. Now, this is a quiet rural valley.
Very quiet.
It has extreme echoes. Mm-hmm. I think residents up and down the valley have been complaining about this for years. We have noticed the traffic that goes up to the casino. We just fear more of what we've been experiencing.
Now, if you compare this to, say, the really big, extensive, I guess you'd say, development at Rosso, Francis Coppola Presents Rosso and Bianco.
Right.
If you look at what they're doing, they're taking a pre-existing winery.
It's already there.
Yeah, it's already there. It's set back very far from the road. But they have some pretty major restrictions on their use.
Yeah.
They are not going to be an event center. And I was talking to somebody from there, and they were saying, if they celebrate an employee's birthday and have 30 people come, that is considered an event. And the number of events that they can have throughout the year and the amount of outside noise they can have is very limited. Yeah. So why is this pristine area?
That's a good question.
That's very odd.
The other thing that's interesting about what you just described is that project went through the normal process.
Right.
It went to the Board of Zoning Adjustments, and then they had the opportunity, both sides, anyone who was not pleased with the outcome, had the opportunity to appeal to the Board of Supervisors. That's been taken away from us. We have no appeal.
I think you need to sue to get that part back.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah, no, that's totally not okay. And that was a backroom deal that Supervisor Paul Kelly did with Jess Jackson's people to basically, and the reason for it is they're saying it's the importance of the project. Well, how is this project
to
more
whom?
Important to than any other project?
And to whom is it important?
Exactly.
I think it's not important to Knights Valley.
No.
No, the community.
It's not really important to Sonoma County either.
No, it's a 5,000 case winery. Jess and Barbara have untold wineries in Sonoma County. They just closed the Murphy Good. They own Murphy Good out in Alexander Valley. They closed the tasting room and reopened it in Hillsburg, downtown Hillsburg, which I think is the appropriate place for those sort of tourist attraction type of wine tasting rooms. Mm. So and they did that. The reason they said they did it was to reduce the carbon footprint. So here we go, just, you know, increasing the carbon footprint another 20 minutes down the road. So there seems to be a lot of contradiction as to what their motives are and what they're really trying to accomplish with their business model.
Do you get responses to any of these issues that you raise from the attorneys or the people working for them?
Well, no. What they keep saying is that they've come out and talked to us and gotten all the public input, and this is what they came up with. But we've told them repeatedly that we don't think it's a good idea to have two winery sites, and they say that we came up with that idea. So it's, again, you know,
that you guys did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been packaged as a compromise to the community, and I know of really no one that wanted two winery sites. The opposition of the community, the overwhelming opposition, has been to the public tasting room. And I don't think the community at large is even aware of this further list of commercialization with separate, you know, retail shop, office, outside eating, and the food stop.
Now, food stop, what does that open up? Does that mean a deli? Does that mean a restaurant?
Well, it's almost painful to read the description of what does not constitute a restaurant or deli. I think that you would have problems with that, being able to still remain within the agricultural preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, like I said, they have a commercial kitchen there. They have seating. They say, well, yeah, the seating's there, but it's not supposed to be used for people eating. Well, who's going to control it? It goes on and on like that. Only pre-prepared foods are allowed to be served. Well, every restaurant serves pre-prepared foods. They pop it in the microwave, don't they? I mean, please. They want a sign, so you would be attracting food. You know, it's a food stop. Now, whether you put the label of deli or restaurant mm-hmm. on it,
people can go buy food and sit down and eat it.
Like yeah. I say, the description of the project of what is allowed and not allowed, it is a half a page long of declaring it's not a restaurant or deli, and you go, well, everything appears to me that it's a food stop.
Yeah.
That's really odd. Now, I had thought that there was some sort of restriction or moratorium on wineries with commercial kitchens in Sonoma County because of water and sewer considerations.
Yeah, well,
where are things with that?
Well, I'm not sure about the moratorium, but with all these uses, we are concerned about where the water's going to come from.
Mm-hmm. How is the groundwater? What is the groundwater situation in Knights Valley?
Well, in this particular one, it's actually a class 4, which is considered the most scarce.
Mm-hmm.
So they drilled a special, they drilled a well for this, these two sites. One well to service both sites. And so there's some issues with that because of having to dig a pipeline through this.
So they're already working on it?
No, they're not working on it. They're trying to get it approved. But in the description, there's a lot of things that talk about certain parts of the development. But there, you kind of bring up a good point because there's a lot of what's a lot of what we're concerned about is not, is what the cumulative impacts will be. That's not in the document, like like all the waste, all the sewage, water, all downstream users. This is in a protected area for actually it's by the Yellow Jacket and the Redwood Creeks, which are known habitat for steelhead and coho. So what happens to all the runoff and all the silt and all the drainage that comes with all this building in the ag preserve? So and what are the mitigations for that? We're not seeing any documentation that's really telling us what's going to happen.
Now, the Sonoma Land Trust is involved in Knights Valley. They own the Luffenburg Ranch.
Right.
So have they weighed in on this?
Well, I think they feel like they're in the position of preserving land and not getting involved in these kinds of issues.
Okay, yeah.
So we're trying to help them. Just get them in contact with other landowners who feel like they would like to be part of or have their land go to the Sonoma Land Trust. And we've actually been successful in doing that. So they do play a part in helping us preserve the big picture. And but they're not necessarily involved in this specific issue.
Okay. Let's talk now. Let's talk a little bit about the history. What do we know about the town, the mythical town of Kellogg, or just about mythical town? I hear lots of different things about it.
Well, there was a town, Kellogg, and there was...
It was right there at, like...
Franz Valley Road.
Oh, Franz Valley
Road. Franz Valley Road and Highway 128.
128, okay.
Which is near Ida Clayton Road,
right.
Which is where you go to the trout farm.
Okay.
Which is right across from Peter Michael. Mm-hmm. So, and actually right now there's a pile of stones there, or... So that's what's left of Kellogg. But there was a school, and there was a post office, and there were some other things as well. But
they're non-existent.
It's non-existent.
Yeah, nothing's
now.
There anymore. Yeah. Pretty much
it's
gone.
Kind of a disappeared ghost town. Uh-huh. I don't know if the houses were carted off or. I mean.
So it didn't have the town didn't burn to the ground. That's one thing you hear.
Oh, now it's too bad we don't have our historian here.
Another time.
We have our artist historian.
The actual historian.
But our actual historian we don't have.
But it's non-existent. You don't go there and find, you know, a deserted church or a store. It's there. Is the cemetery is not part of Kellogg, is it?
No, it's not. It's on the Foot Ranch.
It's on the Foot Ranch, yeah. So it's being almost resurrected, you would think, as a historic landmark. And seriously, if you look through this area, you'll find many kind of a boom town that was the foot of Mount St. Helena, for example, when they thought there was gold and silver to be mined.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 3,000-person boom town. I mean, this is where actually Robert Louis Stevenson lived in one of the abandoned cabins.
That's
after
right.
After the
yeah.
You know, the speculative era was ended. So it's that in itself is being made almost like a justification to create a town development there. You can almost see it in the background and people talking about it and the story being built up to that degree. So again, a sense of this rural, very rural, pristine area now falling to the axe of ranchettes.
Yeah,
as a possible cumulative impact of where it might go after this initial development.
There's so many places like that used to be cities, either because of stagecoaches or trains or that sort of thing. There was Cunningham, there was Austin, there was the town of Preston, and then that little one, I don't know if anyone knows, I don't know if, Lawrence, you know, it was it called Vine Hill? It's there's somewhere a the remnants of a ghost town in Sebastopol. Yeah. I think it was called Vine Hill.
Hessel.
And this was a stagecoach.
Yeah, Foss was the stagecoach driver.
Foss,
F-O-S-S. He was the stagecoach driver out of Calistoga. And he used to take, I mean, ambassadors used to come. It used to be, they used to go to the geysers from Calistoga. Mm-hmm. You'd go to the geysers. I mean, they're were probably worth seeing. Now it's just a bunch of pipelines. But that was thought to be a world wonder. Mark Twain went up there. Notably, though, that was you could only pass through coming from Calistoga over the hills because it was all dirt roads. It was only passable about, I think, three to five months a year. Mm-hmm. So it was a, you know, a very limited pleasure for those that wanted to go see that. And there was, on the other side, there was a barn where they stopped. I don't know if people may have stayed in a hotel. That doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, it hasn't existed for years.
100 years.
Yeah.
What is the state of agriculture in Knights Valley today? We know there are grapes. And it's predominantly red.
It is predominantly red, right. Yeah. And I think you grow red, don't you, Lisa?
Yes.
What do you grow?
Organic Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm-hmm.
That's what I associate with Knights Valley is Cabernet.
Yes, it's a pretty much a red
Peter
grape.
Michael does a great job of growing a lot of different varietals. Mm-hmm. But the Knights Valley has a great name, and I think the growers do a great job producing a great product. Mm-hmm. And we do have all that rich history that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. But and right now, I think Knights Valley has been very fortunate to have large tracts of land that have kept it very rural and in the hands of families over time. Mm-hmm. But that's all changing, you know, because of the way, you know, the tax structure is. There's an issue of paying the estate tax when people die off. So that's another part that's causing some change. Mm-hmm. So what we'd hope is that these families will turn to the Sonoma Land Trust or to the Nature Conservancy and, you know, and put their land in an easement.
Very interesting the way that happened. Is it Laufenberg or Laufenberger?
It's Laufenberg.
Laufenberg, yeah. Charlie Laufenberg. A bachelor, lived, I think, into his 80s.
Exactly.
And
he wanted to
put his land
to preserve
the land
his land. Yeah, it's 160 acres. It's beautiful. There's also a good friend of his by the name of Rye Rogers, who's now 94, and she's considering doing the same thing. She has 500 acres, partly in Knights Valley and partly in Napa County. But there's another example of some forward-thinking people who see the benefit of preserving this wonderful place. And really, that's what we've kind of said to Jess and Barbara. You know, you're our neighbors. You know, come and, you know, grow your grapes and, you know, process those grapes if you need to. But all the other stuff is totally inappropriate.
I don't even know why they would need to process the grapes there.
They really don't.
No, because they can still bottle it as estate because they control the vineyard.
Exactly. Yeah. So there really is no need and no, there's no public benefit, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's, I think, the when you think and ponder is why this is not a small family operation where they can just afford 5,000 cases. So the smallness of it is not really in any way actually compatible with the huge holdings they have there. So what is now the purpose of this, I must say, almost pseudo-winery? 5,000 cases is nothing. And if you look at the architectural design of the winery, it has huge showcase windows that maximize the view to Mount St. Helena. So the use of the winery is, you have to really put a question mark around that. Wineries normally, you want to keep, they're utilitarian buildings. They can be beautiful, but you want to keep them cool.
Right. I mean, that's part of the pleasure of visiting a winery. It's always cool inside. Yeah. That's odd. That's really odd.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I'd like to mention, if the listeners out there would like to do something.
Yes, that was going to be my next. You know what? Go get your pencils and a piece of paper. We'll take a musical break. And when we come back, Craig will be telling you some things you can do.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it
out till it's gone. They paint paradise and put up a fucking line. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. You paint paradise and put up a fucking line.
It's Mouthful. It is KRCB Public Radio for Sonoma County and beyond. Thanks for sticking with us. So much to talk about.
Do you think our listeners got their pencils?
Yes. Did you get your pencils? Do you have that piece of paper now so we can tell you how you can... yet another thing you need to do.
Exactly.
You know, we should... I think every human... should get, or at least every citizen of the United States, I think we should all get sabbaticals like teachers do, and we should get sabbaticals for to recharge ourselves on a number of levels, but I also think that we should get sabbaticals just to do political work for a while.
Well, actually, a good sabbatical is take a drive out Knights Valley.
There you
go. It's wonderful.
It is. What's it like right now?
Oh, it's typical brown grass. But
is it still kind of warm?
It's warm. It's 82 today, maybe even hotter. But it's a beautiful time of year in fall.
See forever.
Yeah, it's Indian
and
summer.
If you don't have time to do that, you can also come by the library, the Healdsburg Library, and see the paintings I did of the area.
So the exhibit's Monday through Saturday?
From 1 to 3?
1 to 5.
1 to 5. Oh, yes, 1 to 5. Good, there.
And it goes until October 25th.
Hasn't this also been immortalized by an earlier artist down in San Francisco you were talking about?
I don't recall.
I don't
Knights
recall.
Valley paintings.
Oh, yeah. Virgil Williams. Virgil Williams. Why don't you say it's in the DeYoung Museum, right? You can see in the 19th century paintings, there's some wonderful painting of Knights Valley. So there's been artists like Millie painting Knights Valley for hundreds of years. And what's interesting is that it still looks kind of like the way it does.
Well, Lisa, you were talking about Jack Stepan's painting, which we see on KRCB TV. You gave such a beautiful description of that.
Yes, it's often when you watch, actually almost always when you watch KRCB, you see Jack Stepan's painting of the, I guess it would be the west flank of Mount St. Helena, the silhouette of it, kind of the sleeping princess as it has been often described both by the Spanish and the Russians, actually. I don't know why they came at that. She was a little bit of a Molly princess, but that's what she was. Anyway, the picture itself has these deep hues of purple and green, really suggestive of a heavily forested area. And Jack Stepan, I asked him also on our particular ranch. We have a view spot of Mount St. Helene. He's also painted very much the same view. He's named it Lisa's view. That was very nice of him. In any case, that is rapidly changing. Those deep purple and green hues are disappearing as large swaths of deeply forested areas are disappearing.
And are they being taken out for vineyard?
Mostly, yes. First, the timber is harvested, and much of this operates under the timber plan. I think there's not a lot of regulatory difficulty in taking out. 2.9 acres seems to be the minimum.
Yeah, under 3 acres, you can just go in with a county permit as opposed to a timber harvest permit.
Right. So the cumulative impacts are being seen. So each individual, and we get the impression that it's more than 2.9 acres. But if more and more properties are doing this, you're definitely getting a cumulative impact. And why is that important? This is a heavily forested area. It is a water recharge zone.
And explain for people who don't understand, explain what that means.
Well, it's the area gets something like 70 inches a year. Down more on the valley floor where we live, you're looking at maybe 30 to 40, and we're talking average, of course. Now, if you're ripping out your forests on a large scale, the water is not being absorbed. It's a sponge, essentially, and it will give off...
So when you say recharge, it means that forested area, not just not only gets the rain, but because of the vast root systems, it's recharging the groundwater.
It's recharging the groundwater and will release it over the course of a year. You know, when I grew up, at one point I always thought, how do the creeks get water? And in my imagination, I said, well, there's a little spring somewhere if you just go far enough up and there's something bubbling. That's not how it works. You know, we don't have runoff from glaciers or snowfields like maybe the Delta does. Our water supply over the year is based upon recharge. That is, the forests and forested areas taking in the water and giving it off over the course of the year. So it does have major impacts to simply deforest on a big scale.
Now, we were going to tell people what they can do rather than getting in bed because they're so depressed.
Well, in addition to going to Millie's Art Show at the Hillsburg Library, they can call the Board of Supervisors. And there's a number to call.
Phone calls are effective.
Yeah. Phone calls will be taken. You can call the general number, which is 707-565-2241.
That's 565-2241.
And the clerk of the board will answer the phone, and you can leave a message and have her take down a message that you are against this project for the reasons that we've talked about.
Can you just say Knights Valley Project?
You could just say the Knights Valley Project that's being heard Tuesday, October 14th. Save Knights Valley. You could just say Save Knights Valley and stop inappropriate development and commercial centers and tasting rooms and events.
And what about saying that you want the public process reinstated?
Very important that you want the public process reinstated and the public should be heard. That's a very important thing.
You know, coming from a wine-growing perspective, it is also unfair to other applicants that that do go through the full process. And
exactly.
it is always a give-and-take procedure. You don't get everything you want. Nobody really does. But in the end, you probably have a more compatible project. And this here, it is being completely circumvented.
Mm-hmm. You can also email. You can email the board. It's BOS.
Board of Supervisors,
BOS, at Sonoma-County.org. You need to have the dash between Sonoma and County. You can also, at that phone number that we gave, you can also leave a message there if no one answers. And you can also fax a letter to 707-565-3778. 707-565-3778.
That's for faxing.
That's faxing, yeah. Okay. So you can fax, phone, or email.
Okay. You can also, I think it's very effective to write letters to the editor.
Very good idea.
Really important to get those. There's just nothing but political letters in right now, or almost in the Press Democrat right now. And that's really good. To me, I love letters to the editor.
I do, too.
It's such a community forum.
I actually have the email address for that.
Excellent.
You can email a letter to the editor on this subject at letters@pressdemocrat.com. That's letters@pressdemocrat.com. And actually, we've had a few letters published on this very issue, so they're willing to publish.
I think that was how I first became aware of this. I think I saw a letter you wrote.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you wrote to me that said the same day that appeared. Now, for a while you had a website, Knights of the Valley.
Well, I think we still have knightsofthevalley.com. It kind of gives you a little bit of history of the project. We haven't updated it in a while, but you can still go to www.knightsofthevalley.com and see.
So it's .com, not .org.
That's .com.
No wonder I couldn't find it.
And see the history of how we got here.
Uh-huh.
With this project. This has been 4 years in the making.
4 years. 4 years on a backroom deal.
Four years, and now we got a backroom deal.
You know, one of the things this reminds me of, a little bit, do you know the big, the auto mall sign in Petaluma?
Yes.
That came, you know, that was built in the early 90s using almost $1 million of taxpayers' money.
I remember that.
Yes. And there was nothing there at the time. It was wetlands. And there was a big outcry. I'm really surprised it wasn't blown up.
Yeah,
I agree.
I
was just stunned.
It's amazing how those things get through.
Yeah, and then a judge ruled that it was a misuse of taxpayer funds and it had been done illegally. But it's up. We're not going to make them take it down. And no one paid.
Yeah.
Nobody got fired. Nobody went to jail. Nothing happened. Well, you know, the public got screwed, but it's already done.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to see that happen tonight's Valley.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah, I think that's probably the strategy with this meeting. Let's just go ahead and have the meeting. Mm-hmm. So, because once you've had
better
the meeting.
Better to beg forgiveness than to ask permission.
Yeah. But we've made it very clear. It's totally inappropriate. The public has not had their due process. And, you know, I think people can vote on November 4th and have some impact as well. Vote for the supervisors that are running that will take a different stand.
Yeah, and vote for the ones who really know
something about
land use.
One would hope that, I think where this was first introduced as kind of the bypass of the normal procedure, that many of the supervisors maybe were listening with one ear because it was all more kind of, it was just slipped in during
exactly.
the meeting. And I think they should be aware that, you know, billionaires are being given special privileges here that no other applicant would get. And I don't think the public is in a mood for that.
I don't either. Hey, and, you know, Francis Coppola didn't get it.
Exactly.
Certainly don't want Jesse Jackson getting it.
Exactly. And so Francis's project is less important than this project, or he's less important somehow as a taxpayer.
And actually, I love Coppola's project. It's going to be a great thing for for families of the Geyserville, Healdsburg, I mean, the whole area. It's going to be a great place.
Well, irrespective of how you feel about it, it went through the proper procedure.
Channels, yeah. It went through the proper channels.
Yeah.
People weighed in, and there were things that they wanted to do that they are not going to be able to do.
Exactly. And they thought about appealing it to the board of supervisors, which is the process you go through if you're not happy with what you get in the Board of Zoning Adjustments. So we're being forced to, if we're not happy, we have one alternative, lawsuit. And that's not appropriate.
That's not right. Listen, thank you all very much. Really appreciate you. It's Lisa Carr. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lisa Carr, Millie Bissett, and Craig Enyart, all of Knights Valley, a great place. Love this poster. Look for the big Knights Valley posters with the red prohibited sign on it. It's fun. And I wish it's a fun poster, but it's a very serious, not fun issue. And I wish you all the best.
Thanks for caring about Knights Valley.
You bet. And keep me posted, okay?
Take care.
And meet me back here next week for another episode of A Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a great week. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And don't forget to take a good look at the Hunter's Moon.
Support for Mouthful on KRCB comes from our members and from NetBooks, complete business management software for companies up to 50 people, including wineries and food producers. Information available at netbooks.com or by phone at 86-NETBOOKS. And from Traverso's Gourmet Foods and Wine, a family-owned purveyor serving customers for over 85 years with domestic and imported edibles and beverages in an old-world atmosphere in downtown Santa Rosa and online at traversos.com. We also have support from Peter Lowell's Cafe in Sebastopol, offering casual dining in the rustic Italian tradition, featuring seasonally sourced organic produce, serving brunch Saturday and Sunday with a farm prefix menu Sunday evening. Peter Lowell's Cafe, online at peterlowells.com.
Listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner, now let's go. We got some beans and some flip cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner, now let's go.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.
Listen to